This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, April 16th, 2009.
Hi, everyone. Sorry we didn't know we're supposed to be in the art gallery. Sorry for that inconvenience. It is 4:48 p.m., April 16th, 2009. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Andrew?
Excuse me.
Here.
Craig is on his seat.
Here.
Here.
Not
present.
Excuse.
Miller's here.
Here.
Stein. Here.
Yao.
Yao's on excuse. All set. Thank you. We have approval of the minutes from April 9th, 2009. Any motions?
Call
for affirmation. Is there a second? Any dissent?
No.
All right. That minutes have been approved. Settle down. Open microphone. If anyone in the audience that would like to bring anything to the SA's attention that is not currently on the agenda, now's your chance to do so. Hi. Come on up to the table. And please state your name and year for the record.
Hi, everyone. My name is Micah. I'm here representing the Alternative Grades Program, which is a program, if you guys aren't familiar with it, we send undergrads to different locations all up and down the East Coast to perform community service over spring break. And right now we're seeking byline funding from Cornell, so I'm just here to ask for your support. And in order to support us, we need your signature, your student ID. It just shows that we have the support of Cornell community and asking for this byline funding.
Sure, you want to pass that around?
Yeah.
Sure, feel free to.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, you can.
How much are you requesting? Like, do you have an expense report, or is it just...
Well, actually, that's the discussion that will take place next semester. You're doing the process you need to do to be considered for byline funding.
It's 1,500 signatures to
apply.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if we've already signed it, you don't want us to sign it
again?
No. Okay. Thanks. Any other questions? For Mike. All right, thanks a lot for coming.
Thank you,
ma'am. Thanks. Anyone else in the audience that would like to bring? Jack Chow.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jack Chow. I am a junior in the College of Arts and Sciences. And I'm here to ask you guys to participate in a survey that I'm doing for a class. Government 312 about public opinion and representation. Thank you guys are in it. So this survey, the purpose of it is to look at how your political attitude can influence how you process information. And for people participating, I really want them to be politically active, politically engaged, really aware. And I figure the best sample of people, recognize those people as members of the student assembly. I think there's a lot of representatives. You guys do that. Really enjoy the survey, learn a lot. So it takes about 10 to 15 minutes to complete, and I'm going to have as many of you guys stay after the meeting and participate in the survey. And I'm just going to give you a big minute.
So you're dismissed after the meeting. Okay, great. So I encourage everyone to stay after and participate in the survey with Jack. Thanks, Jack. Okay, moving on. I know we're not in the memorial room, not our normal setting, but please settle down so we can get through business. Right on to announcements and reports. We have an Ivy Council announcement by Representative Lapella.
All right. I just wanted to thank all you guys for receiving all of my emails that I keep sending out, as well as giving me feedback. I really appreciate it. Hopefully, my goal for next year, as a delegate again, is to get more people involved in Ivy Council, especially from the student assembly. So I'm glad to hear that you guys are interested. I just wanted to give two updates. First, Eric Shannon is working on finding an LGBTQ representative for Ivy Council from Cornell. The Ivy Council is planning on hosting an LGBTQA Ivy-wide event, so more on that at some point. let's get you guys updated. In addition, next weekend, IB Council just decided to put together an IB student government retreat. So if any of you are interested, please let me know. It's going to be the 24th and 25th at UPenn. We're going to be going probably Friday afternoon and then returning Saturday late evening. So let me know if you guys are interested.
Any questions for Alex?
Sir. Do you know anybody who's obviously not graduating who would be interested in maybe working in the LGBT branch of IBC Council? Please let me know. I have a couple of people who I've been in contact with. So most of the people I know have been my year, so I don't really tell that much. But do you know anybody who might be interested in looking at
it? Any other questions for Alex? No comments? All right, thank you. University Assembly announcement by Representative Rapps.
Hey guys, I just wanted to update everyone on the gourd safety resolution that we discussed at our last meeting. Basically, it was brought to the University Assembly, and we had a really long discussion, like an hour discussion, on whether this should be passed or not. And basically, end of the vote, it was six people saying that they didn't want it and four abstaining, so it did not pass, so nothing changed. But we did, Faith and I both did state the opinions of the assembly and the opinions of the students. We just want to let you know what happened.
What did Kathy Zollner say, by any chance?
There was a little debacle because the graduate students brought the law students, so they were pretty much telling Cornell what they could not do, and Kathy Zollner did not like that. So
was she there?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was, a big, it was like a going back and forth kind of thing. Nothing really got resolved. People got really touchy.
Okay.
It didn't really, nothing really happened. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Any other? Oh, Ace is not here. I know there's another city university gourd safety meeting. Another one of those joint meetings. I'll find out and send it out. I forget the date, but sure, because Ace is heading up for gourd safety stuff, he'll be there. We are having a RSO task force meeting from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. next Saturday. And we're inviting anyone else to come. This is the part of the, task force that will be doing the analysis of all the groups. Thus far, we've been having discussions about what sort of procedures we want to implement and that sort of thing. And now this will be, our review of all the groups and so where we can recognize for groups to consolidate and whatnot. Thank you to everyone who's been involved with those meetings, Emlyn, Vincent, Tony, the SAC, Julia. I mean, thank you so much for all your work that you do on that task force. And so this day will hopefully sum up everything. Next Saturday.
2 days from now or 8 days from now?
What's that?
2 days from now or?
Next Saturday. So this Saturday would be this Saturday and next Saturday. Any questions about that? Oh, McGraw 145. Thank you. We'll send an email out as well. Any other announcements? Congratulations on all those student trustee candidates in the room on finishing your campaigns, and good luck with the results. Moving on, no other announcements or reports? Okay, moving on to business of the day. We have Resolution 35, creation of liaisons between the Club Sports Council and the Student Assembly Finance Commission, sponsored by Representative Diakow and others. Yeah. Hi, guys. Thanks so much for your work on this. Please state your names in here for the record, and you'll have 5 minutes to introduce the resolution. Not you.
Julia. Oh. Julia, Polymorph Sciences. Katie, Polymorph Sciences.
The point of this resolution is supposed to help foster a better relationship between the club sports and FASB. As it stands, club sports are allocated 25% of FASB funding, and when certain teams pad their budget more than others, since they're all the sports together, it's only 25%, those teams are harming all the other club sports because the cash back will all be lowered, and sports don't get the correct amount that they should, and then a lot of money comes back into the next semester and it's wasteful. The teams don't need it to get it when they need it, and so this is supposed to basically kind of help the sports council or the club sports council to be able to have more of a representation in the FASB to understand the process, so they'll have a liaison there, and also FASB will have a liaison to the club sports council to help them get more official, I guess, and organized. So this club sports are in a unique situation because unlike any other club in the university, they're guaranteed a certain percentage of our funds, and as the resolution states, they're usually allocated up to that cap. However, there's really no interaction, and what I found from talking to the club sports council leaders from this year is that there's clear overpadding of the budget, and what happens is that other club sports that need the money don't get that allocation. Since they're working in the same 25% cap, the club sports really hurt each other by doing that. And another thing that we found out is that there is an opportunity in the future to put a subjective pre-approval process in the SAC budget process, where the club sports council, when organized with the governing body, official membership requirements, can pre-approve the budget for the club sports, as they have the expertise and knowledge of what tournament can actually happen, how quickly the durable goods are deteriorated. And then the SAC would, as it always does, objectively fund the proper appropriate request for that semester. So that's basically where we're trying to move forward to this resolution.
Great. Anything else to add? I'm sorry, what's your name again?
Katie.
Can you just talk a little bit about the state or status of the CSC?
Sure. I mean, at the current point, we're in the process of restructuring. Our big achievement previously was upping the cap from 10% of the SAFC funding to 25% of SAFC funding allocated to club sports. But the next step for us is really figuring out a way for the Public Sports Council to have more formal membership, to actually have those meetings be more effective as we're moving forward, maybe eventually going for bylaw funding. We're not really sure as of right now until we actually restructure the CSC, but the ultimate goal is to allow us to help each other out, because right now is a battle between every team to get as much as they can, and we're working against each other instead of working with each other, because obviously I think the last tally we took, around 10% of the universities involved in club sports, but that number isn't necessarily representative, and the club sports themselves aren't receiving the funding they need. And then the funding cap dropped $3,000 for the last semester alone. It was $7,000 the last semester, and it was capped at $4,000 for each month, which left a lot of groups scrambling. While at the same time, we know that teams within the Club Sports Council were requesting $10,000 when they only need $3,000 to run.
Okay. Great. No, thank you very much. And then also in terms of CSC as an organization, I mean, there's because there would be some sort of pre-approval process. At this point, you know, as an organization, you feel that there's appropriate infrastructure and all that to fill that role?
As right now, we're primarily a e-board, and our meetings aren't always at a set time, mostly because of travel issues with club sports. The goal right now is trying to get an official liaison from every team that hopes to receive the 25% funding. Without a liaison, the SO teams would not be eligible for the funding that SAFC gives out. And having some formal membership requirements of having club sports have to compete against other colleges and intercollegiately as well, so that there would be strict membership guidelines so that you wouldn't have teams that were not participating in competition.
Great. Thank you very much again. All right. The speaker post is now open. VP Basil.
Yeah, I think this is a great resolution, I'm really looking forward to, you know, as you're saying, hopefully in the next couple of years, developing the CSC to the point where hopefully you guys can see filing funding on your own, which I think really would go a long way toward solving a lot of these club sports issues by really having a council that, you know, would know these issues well. And allowing the SAC then to focus on, you know, funding student groups. So I'll go ahead and let other people comment if they want, but I think this is great, and we should definitely vote for it.
VP Miller.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was Tuesday I had the chance to sit down and talk with you a little more about this. This is a good intermediary step. Obviously, it's not the best solution, so for those of you who might be skeptic and think, can't this more to be done, this is a great starting step, and a lot of times you have processes where no one's willing to take that first step, and this is very good. It's very thorough. And there is a safeguard in there for those people who are worried about oversight. You know, I just want to highlight that the FA needs to approve their organizational structure before we get to that point. So, you know, please, any skepticism, please know that they have to come back to support and go there again. a fantastic resolution, and with that, I call it to question.
Withdraw your.
Withdraw my.
Thanks.
Motion.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll give you 2 minutes.
Right under the first sheet, therefore resolved in the second bolded part, where it just says they can appoint one liaison who will serve as a full voting member. We thought that might be better next semester in the fall. We were telling that they will be a non-voting member in their first term, but still subject to all the attendance requirements and commission requirements, and that all subsequent semesters will become a full voting member, because we just thought that was more fair. It wouldn't give them like a huge advantage in any way the first time they're getting familiar.
And the logic to have a voting member of the board council is to eventually, when we move through the pre-approval process, that member of the executive board and that voting member would be able to explain to the club board why their budget was pre-approved in a certain way, and would serve as a representative of club board in the SAC objective process. So since that's not something that's taking place in the fall, a lot of SAC commissioners feel uncomfortable having a full voting member to come in and argue at some point that no other organization has that kind of representation on a governing body that allocates that much money. So the voting is not something that's necessary until the spring, and that's contingent on the support organization. So it's something that we'd like to
So, yeah, you can change it whenever you want, because you're the sponsor of the resolution. So the changing is now... I mean, if anyone is against it, then they have to motion to amend.
So where it says, the club sports council with approval of the SA may appoint one liaison who will serve as a non-voting member in their first term, but still be subject to all attendance requirements, and serve as a full voting member of the ASB in all following terms. And then continuing to liaise
contingent
on the rest of the resolution.
Okay, so I have, with the approval, may appoint one liaison who will serve as a non-voting member during their first term. I was just going to recommend the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. The rest is SAFC can determine.
Right. I'm sure that at the end we're trying to see if the governing body conforms to our expectations.
Perfect. So it is may appoint one liaison who will serve as a non-voting member of the SAFC.
Correct.
Period. Great. Everyone clear on that? Okay. Moving on, the speaker's list, Representative Salem.
I was just wondering, so who are the current members who serve on the SAC just by virtue of their position? And are they considered voting members?
Commissioners and SAC, but for SAC.
There's between 20 and 30 members, and they're all SAC commissioners except for, like, Evelyn and SAC.
So, in the first, be it therefore, the only addition would be the liaison, I guess. Since there aren't any other members, unlike any other organization.
Right.
Okay.
Call. Good call question. There's a second. Any dissent? Single dissent?
No, I'm sorry. Actually, that's not. So, like, the other non-voting members would be the
president of the SA.
The vice president of internal operations, all right, that is the non-voting members. And.
All other.
By another resolution, the president of the
SAC
is technically
not voting
up.
So
basically, no other club or organization
has
the kind of relationship with the
SAC. Only commission. Right. Okay, there was a call to question. There was a second. Any dissent? Seeing no dissent, 1 minute. Any closing remarks or anything?
I think that you guys should vote yes for this resolution. The SAC has one issue with the non-voting member, but I think, you know, one of the issues with two families at the SAC and where we could improve efficiency for some of the clubs, we find club sports have a unique situation. Again, we fund them for a certain half, they're guaranteed that amount, and it's really time for us to be more efficient with how we allocate the money to them. And the possibility of having the approval of what something that's favorable to both myself as like a member of the SAC and also to student athletes, representative of the club sports
and everyone in the party.
and for club sports, it's a great step for us to actually move towards violent funding in the future. It's a great step for us to actually get those formal requirements set up. And knowing that we have that relationship with SAFC is going to help us persuade the other club sports teams who have been a little reticent to joining club sports council or being an active participant in it to actually take that step, become more involved, knowing that we can do things to help them.
Great. Thank you very much. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Yes.
Great. Resolution passes. Thank you very much again. All right. Moving on to unfinished business, we have Resolution 33, Staffing Committee, sponsored by Kumar and Miller. All right, guys, you have 2 minutes. Speakers list is now. Speakers list open. I'll be the first one on it. So it's everyone on the executive committee.
Yes.
So
yes.
Would adding the role of staffing to the executive committee be better?
Okay.
I'm thinking in terms of charter, it outlines all the committees. No, never mind. I'll take that comment back.
Yeah.
Speakers list is now open. Representative Salem.
I think this resolution is a good idea. I guess, you know, the CEO obviously realizes that, you know, he can't efficiently do his job by himself, so he's asking for other people's help. And I think, you know, it's only thing to test how difficult it was finding staff.
I think Nikhil does a great job by himself. I think he just wants to do a spectacular job. Liaison, Miller.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm talking about some of the words. I definitely think that's like,
Representative Stein.
The one thing I have to ask is, so you found that in the past the staffing committee has been unable to find, you know, six dedicated members. So you're now going to force the assembly members and the executive committee to do staffing. I mean, maybe the staffing committee should just be more flexible with when they meet. Or maybe, you know, you should take people in and have people help. I know I helped Tony for a little while with staffing, though I was very busy at that point in the year. I mean, it seemed unnecessary to add an additional requirement for all assembly members who are already busy on other committees.
Well, firstly, they're not specifically told what to do in this resolution. So there is no formal extra burden on the executive committee members, with the exception that the VP and Colonel should be chair of it. So it's really up to the discretion of the chair to decide how he or she will delegate his or her duties to the other members. This is more of a formal set of who shall be on the committee, whereas there previously was one. So, for example, when I asked you to help me out that one morning, that was informal. That was me sort of asking that question.
Right.
This just says that there are certain people with whom the VP and Colonel shall go to seek more formal assistance, but it doesn't give them any specific duties to do. It really is up to the chair. And so if a member feels burdened, you know, the chair will recognize that and maybe excuse them and hold them, you know, to do more.
That's time. Representative Dykow.
So many of you did this already. You think that we have the
I'm going to call a question. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, will the clerk, 30 seconds, closing remarks.
Oh, yeah.
Will the clerk please call the roll? We'll run it through resolution.
Yes.
Yes. Correction, Resolution 34, Appendix A, Rules Clarification, is actually under unfinished business. I'm recognizing this as unfinished business from the entire Appendix A document that we did vote on, because we need to vote on this today, and that's how I'm interpreting it. So, Resolution 34, BP Basil.
All right, basically, the Bursar feels that families, when they're getting a Bursar bill, find whole numbers friendly. Much easier to deal with the university, find it easier to deal with whole numbers and financial aid from a technical point of view. And really rounding benefits for SARCOM in a lot of different ways. So they've asked that we re-add the language about rounding FAF to a whole dollar amount back into Appendix A. Granted, this could be done without precedent, and it could happen anyway, but they just want the comfort of having individual language in there.
Yep. Dyckhouse first in the speaking list before I just make two other points. Basically, it's our Appendix A changes are in the President's office, and they're going through them with like University Council and Susan Murphy, all the changes. There are a lot of them. So this was one, and the sentiment behind this was if we don't need that, say it becomes a 50 cents and we have to round up, that's 50 cents times 13,500. That we didn't really need, and then financial aid does have to cover that. We were thinking, well, let's not take money we don't need because other offices are affected, but financial aid actually rounds up as well. So so that reason is sort of null and void, so that's another reason. And please add this to, I guess, I can't motion to amend this. I'm going to move on to the speaker's list, and then you'll hear something new. Representative Dyckhouse.
So the very next,
BP Miller.
I motion to amend this resolution number 3, where the bold stop, to pull it back up, to read, in no circumstance shall the SAFC receive less than 35% of the total amount of the SAF. If the amount allocated to the SAFC is less than 35% of the total SAF, the allocation of the SAFC shall be automatically adjusted. And I yield my time to the chair.
So, Susan Murphy emailed me back today, and in the 1999 trustee, what would you call it, Ari? The report?
No, it was more, I don't think of the title of it, but it's like specifications for
right. Right. It's like what we have. We're under the jurisdiction of the Board of Trustees, so this is a stipulation that they gave to us, and we took it out of our Appendix A because it never gets close to that, and B, I guess it would just be common law. But the President's office wants it back in there, and that's fine. You know, we were just wanting to shorten our documents, but they want that back in there, so that's why it's there. What? You found it friendly. Good. Glad you had a choice. Any speaker's list is open.
I call the question on the amendment.
Call the
resolution.
I'm going to call the question in a second. Any dissent? Okay. Is everyone clear on what number 3, how number 3 reads now?
Yeah.
Okay. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Davis?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Brockman?
Yes.
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 Okay, thank you very much, Basil. Thanks. Resolution 36, creation of a Cornell Collegetown Committee. VP Basil, what? 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 This is on, yeah. Oh. To record, Basil and Miller, 5 minutes.
So basically, this resolution was generated from the recent meetings we've had with the Common Council and the City Plan. Basically, the vision for this committee is really to create a better relationship with college towns. So basically, just things like informing students about local government issues, mobilizing student interests, such as when we work on the Common Council. And in general, just sort of brainstorming ideas for how we can work with the city to improve college town. It's an ad hoc committee, which means it's sort of it can be dissolved at any point, doesn't require a charter change or anything like that. Basically, I sort of envision it as a committee that works kind of in coalition with the Red Club, Resident Community Life Committee,
I think that I guess one of the reasons I didn't work with Alan is that college town is kind of a great way. It's all sort of really focused on the last and special seniors. And college town again is 97% of students. So I think moving forward, especially the retirement of Mary Gallman from the 4th district, it's going to be very important for students who are asked to do work with the city. And we really wanted for the institutional structure to bring together members of the Greek community, members of Red Life, members of the Student Assembly, and really lobby both the Cornell administration and the Ithaca City Government to make sure that college town is a community for students.
All right, all set? Thank you. Speakers list is open. Representative Stalin.
Is the one member of Campus Life referring to students or staff?
This is sort of a preliminary staffing for the committee. I mean, ideally, it would be a staff member, but I mean, students. The composition numbers are, they can be changed. Like I said, the committee should be left to make quite a problem.
Yeah, I think again, the point here is that the initial membership, the initial input, would really include a voice from all the different groups.
Representative Stein.
So I think that this is a great resolution with one exception. I do have a slight problem with the composition. It seems like the four members from the Cornell or Collegetown community should perhaps be larger, not that the committee should be larger, because I know when a committee gets too large, it's just not effective, but perhaps we should cut in on some of these other requirements. For instance, landlords, permanent residents, students, faculty, and staff. I mean, that's not even one seat for each of those categories who you hope will represent these four members. So I would just suggest possibly or amend even to have it read two members of the Student Assembly, one member of the Greek Tri-Council, one member of Campus Life, though I do think we should clarify what Campus Life means as well, and then six members from the Cornell or Collegetown community.
Can I comment?
Yep, you have a minute.
I mean, this is the Noah's Ark Committee. I'm not looking for one of each here.
I wasn't saying you were, but I feel that the students should be adequately represented.
Yeah,
and Greek students and student assembly members can be part of that four or six.
I agree. I think that, the whole point is that we were trying to imply what you would like the representation of this committee to be, that it would include perhaps landlords, community members, people who are interested. And again, not necessarily the students, because they're coalition, there was a lot of different
These numbers are really just preliminary.
20 seconds. Did you amend?
Yeah, I motion to amend.
Okay, so there is a motion to amend.
Do you find it friendly, or
repeat your amendment? Everyone, please. Side chatter.
Three members of the Student Assembly would be changed to two. Two members of the Greek Tri-Council would be changed to one. One member of Campus Life would remain the same, though I'd like Campus Life to be sort of defined because it's a really broad term.
What?
Yes, it's defined.
Okay, well, if you want to add two members to your committee,
all right,
hold
on. Wait, stop. This is not how we propose amendments.
Okay, I motion to amend changing 4 to 6.
All right,
okay.
That's a point of inquiry.
Hold on. So there was a motion to amend the resolution, the last, for the be it further resolved clause to change
4 to 6.
Just one member of campus life and 6 members from the Cornell Project Committee. Just 4 to 6, the only part of the amendment, right?
Sure.
Okay. Do you find that friendly?
Yes,
the point of inquiry.
Point of inquiry.
Are student assembly committees allowed to have, like, non-Cornell affiliated people in their composition? Is that allowed? It is? Cool.
All right.
You might want to address about how they're staffed, because there isn't a non-Cornell assembly.
Okay. Dean Hubble, please.
It's also important that he coordinates this with Jerry Stewart and the neighborhood council, just to put this in place and set it back by the movies, which all changes. Also, yes. And if you're Gary, you're organizing all the meetings, so you want to make sure you coordinate with their agenda.
I think that's exactly what we're looking for. Let's hope that we're being, point of reference.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, often it's Gary coming to me saying, find me 8 people to come to either university neighborhood council or the college neighborhood council, and this committee can be in charge of getting a crew there each time, because he needs, it's always important to have representation. So, yes, absolutely. Thank you. Representative Rapps.
Yeah, just going along with what Rebecca said, I was just wondering why you wanted 2 members of the Greek Chi Council. Like, why is that? Why are you specifying?
Yeah, because college Chi is
in fact, just to add, event management guidelines that I have seen extended for Palestine because they were recognized as like an extension of the house.
Okay, got it.
Representative Patel.
All right, I think this is a great idea too. I think that a lot of people don't really understand that there is a problem, or they understand it's a problem, but they don't understand what the problem is. So I think it's going to be a very effective committee. My question is just more specifically, how do you plan on getting the word out, brainstorming these ideas, and mobilizing students? Because I think it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to advertise it and effectively get people interested in this.
Interested in the committee?
Yeah.
Going forward again, this is both a relationship committee and a crisis committee. So, when things happened at the city council meeting a few weeks ago, will be hopefully to mobilize student interest. And I know that at the council meeting there were probably 20, 30 students there at least, and a huge number of students, not just that big students, were interested in participating and voicing their opinion. I think the student interest was there. I know that after I created that Facebook event, there were a bunch of people who came up to me and said, oh, wow, I'm just wondering about this for the first time.
Mm-hmm. 30 seconds.
I think students are really interested.
VP Miller.
What sort of time? Did you want to get this committee started now, or did you want to wait till the fall? Curious what your time frame
is. I think the hope is to pass this right now, so that by the fall, we'll come and start actually doing something. See, the other thing is the city council has not read up the academic calendar.
Right.
So,
you do want to get it started staff this semester?
I'd like to get it, I'd like to get started this semester so that we can form a relationship with Sponte, our city councilmen and other city council members, and basically stay on the ball in the summer when it's all come.
Sure. And ad hoc, what sort of time frame do you see this? Do you eventually want to make it permanent, or what are you guys looking to do in a time period?
Well, it's really hard to say because, we're really, the motivation for this model is really sort of issues around
that. Yeah.
And we don't know in the future if there's going to be another big issue like that. I think that because it's ad hoc, we can solve it whenever we want to, it's just a case. But, more so, I just think we should have some kind of committee that is really, helpful relationship.
Thank you.
Kumar, Representative Kumar, sorry.
A great way I think this was better complement the race district, which over the past couple of years has really taken on this and on the thousands of issues, and this is going to be a great complement today. Are we voting on this?
Yep.
Today?
No, this is new business. Is there a motion to move it? It's on new business. So
yeah, I'll motion to move it to the day.
There's been a motion to move 36. Any dissent? Okay, seeing none. Call the question.
Second.
Any dissent? Okay. Will the clerk please call the roll on resolution 36? Thank you. 1 minute. Any closing remarks? Nope. Great. Clerk.
Andrew?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Resolution 37, housing lottery records. Hey. I'll just wait. Resolution 37, housing lottery recommendations, part one, information. Representative Kumar and Representative Cusick and Representative Rath.
Order. It was a nice day.
It was a nice day,
Ryan. Oh, so let me talk. I'm going to make you black and blue and brown.
5 minutes. Okay, thank you. B.C. Junowitz.
I think this is an absolutely fantastic idea. I mean, every year in everyone's platforms, they always talk about improving this process, and I think this is a fantastic step in the right direction. I have one more, just maybe suggestion. If they could, I love this idea of providing a lot more information online and everything. But I think one thing that a lot of students are concerned about too is they don't really know, like, when they're deciding whether or not to sign up in college town or to live on campus, they don't really know, like, what their odds are of, say, like, getting a single or getting a double or things like that. So maybe if they can make that kind of information available, just so people can, like, you know, make decisions like that earlier on, like, even before they sign up for the house.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I think, you know, there were two main areas we were trying to address. First of all, the decision of whether to go into large
and
the second part of the question. That's an excellent point. And, you know, we can definitely include that
VP Miller.
I remember being in the Res Life meeting, and when she came down and talked about the floor plan thing, and wasn't there an issue with that in Homeland Security or the government or something? No, there is. There's a real legal issue. So is this something that's viable?
Yes.
No, I'm not joking. Really, there was a Homeland Security issue.
Yeah, you know, we recognize there are certainly things in training. That's why we want to, you know, push the pace forward possibly. I think what the model was Brown University, where their whatever they have our RC at Brown University did was they put a some secure server where they can access the student ID. Right now you can go actually to campsite office physically and look at it. We just want to explore the possibility of using it to secure server. That is a good.
Cool. And then my second thing, I was reading Resolution 38, I guess a little pamphlet. Did you consider maybe squeezing them all into one thing?
My goal isn't to lower the second part. I want to just put it forward. The goal of the second part is that I think our committee needs to talk to a few more people as well. So I'm going to deal with it until next year, the second part.
Great.
The first part is.
Thanks.
Representative Smith.
Oh, I was just wondering when you were planning on, when you wanted to have this information available, because I know, like, it would be useful to have it as early as possible when people are trying to decide where they're going to live. So did you have, like a timeline that you were going to say when you wanted this information out?
Yeah, I mean, I guess a major impediment to putting a lot of this information out there is that a lot of the allocation numbers depend on how many people sign up. Especially right now, the system is that seniors sign up first and juniors and sophomores. But sophomores are guaranteed houses if they sign up within a certain period of time. So that, those allocation numbers sort of change. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of those information too far ahead. But hopefully, reducing the amount of time that people sign up gives people an opportunity to access that information early. And we're going to look in, we have a committee on Monday if we want to show up. But we can look into making suggestions, try to tie that into it.
We use on Tata.
So as you were mentioned, we've actually had this very good discussion on Tuesday through a fellow colleague of mine who's from the Red Lab Committee, one of our future representatives on the committee. And this aspect out of the poison to our product was going to be very friendly to him, particularly given that at Brown, RNC's counterpart had been instrumental in helping create their website. To post such plans. RSC is one of only two organizations currently which does have access to this floor plan. So that is particularly where we would be able to help you guys out. We think it's one organization is RSC, the other one is PRG. Both of these organizations do have access to this floor plan at any time. So you be able to with them? I don't know. So
1 minute.
Sorry, we can help out. I do have one change I would make. I think this would be really nice to be out here. This would be cool. I'm sure it'd be a good one.
Did you make a motion to amend?
Okay.
Oh, and the be it therefore resolved, it's the housing lottery, not the hosing lottery. Clarification. If you were confused, it may be barring a hold. Moving on, Representative Andrews.
I just have a question about the 5 days. So to give the people and like Res Life time to like implement the changes, essentially.
Yeah, this is tricky. So basically, what happens? Campus Life tries to coordinate the creator signups. Probably the first one with the Greek rush process, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, students have about 5 minutes to sign up for the housing lottery. especially sophomores, they sign up within that time, they guarantee housing. Basically, what we want to do is talk to him so that people suggest that it might be helpful to have a bit of a shorter time period for the sign up so that there's a bit of a better housing for that information.
Just an idea that I was thinking of. I saw these three.
1 minute.
There for the results. Is it possible to get a blog up there with like if you have like the pictures of the rooms, then maybe students who live there currently or whatnot can like blog about it. I thought it might make it just traffic on the site would increase if you had a blog. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I mean it's
that's what I was thinking.
Okay. Representative Dacca?
The floor plan, you mean like of the whole building? Because I'm pretty sure like when I actually had it this year, I didn't. But when I got to do it, there were floor plans, like of what all the rooms were like in all the buildings.
You're talking about like actually like during the
On the website, I don't remember which part that does your editing, but there's one part where it's like, when you go down the building, it'll show you like, this is like the floor plan of each room type in the building, but it's not like where they're all plus, it's not on that very popular, but they have the general one wall. Some way that's public, say like I would prefer like a single or double or whatever, or I'm thinking about college and Western North. And if
there's
anything public and that everyone else has done, you got some like time that they would prefer and all of you like, oh, like everyone wants this and maybe I should consider maybe this or that. Like, is there a way to have like a public goal on what radio poem?
Game
through. Yeah, that's a very interesting. I think if we move forward with an idea of a forum of watching any support,
Representative Stein?
One thing that I really would like to see addressed is that currently some of the West Campus houses, I know for a fact Keaton, possibly others, have their own housing lotteries before the housing lottery begins. I'm sorry. But we're not passing this. So, is there any way we can pass something about that? Because I think that's despicable. Like, students don't even know that they have an option. Like, students don't even have an option of living in these houses because they don't know when the housing lottery is.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. That's why we're trying to focus on information on this part, and then that is a policy that I'm also very concerned about. The problem with that is it does touch on larger issues of the West Campus presidential initiative and things like that. So I felt that we maybe need to have more discussion with the West Campus.
Okay. Just another point about that topic.
1 minute.
I don't know if you guys have touched on this yet, but those lotteries are not, like, you're not assigned a number based on a computer. You're assigned a number based on what the house student gives you, and just based on, like personally, I know a bunch of people in that house, and based on who is first and who is last, it seems like it's not an entirely objective process or even slightly objective. So.
Your next is speechless. Okay, Garcia Verdeen.
I actually work in the West Campus offices, and we could actually pull out a random number, so the human being actually gets to see what person is getting this number. Then they just randomly put it on the chart, and they put it in everyone's mailbox. Secondly, they have an in-house lottery for the residents that are already there that are comfortable, and it is for because they can stay there with them, but they do open up to the rest of the campus after the present residents. But a lot of our mentors have closed to just West Campus.
Point of information, are you positive that applies to Keaton? Because I was almost entirely sure that that helps Keaton.
To who?
Yeah. I asked for a point of information.
You have 1 minute.
Everyone
stop talking. Whoa. Your point of information was, is it specific to Keaton House?
Yeah, because
that's the question, right? I don't know, so I'm going to yield to liaison Tata.
Thank you very
much. 1 minute.
The answer is, I'm afraid that perhaps your information bill is correct.
That's probably
true. As with all the houses, it's completely effective, and I'm afraid that that isn't correct.
It's entirely thank possible. I wasn't, like, I was
great.
What
thank
I
you very much. Thank you. Speaker's list has been exhausted. So that is new because it's new business. It's tabled next week. Moving on to Resolution 38, Housing Lottery Recommendations Part 2, Policies, Representative Kumar.
Right, so as you can tell, this is becoming more of a personal sort of thing that sort of tried to consolidate all the information from the discussions that we had within the committee to talk to you guys about policies that have a lottery. But as I said earlier, I think our committee really, we talk about some of these issues. I think our team also talks about some of these issues. They are issues that we need to look deeper into. I just wanted to kind of bring it up very quickly, get a little bit of discussion, but I'm going to go ahead and table this in a couple of minutes.
It's still quite because new business was just going to be questions on the resolution. Is that what you want still?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have anything else?
I'll just go through really quickly. Right now, seniors get to choose first engineers and sophomores. However, sophomores are guaranteed housing. That is an issue that some people in campus life also raised, making it difficult to project bed allocations. As this person is trying to talk about, the in-house lottery system does exist, and I think we need to examine that. And additionally, I think a lot of people have been talking, I think Edwin kind of touched on a little bit, people are wanting singles, they don't have a roommate. They can go ahead and be one person or double. If multiple people do that without coordinating with each other, it leaves a lot of one bed open in doubles rather than consolidation of people down the road. So people are tending to get roommates. So those are issues that we're looking at. Basically, at this point, I would welcome any feedback. We're going to have our last meeting on Monday, so we can get feedback that way. These are relatively, I don't want to say controversial.
5 seconds.
Great,
thank you. Representative Salem.
I guess talked about this in the Red Light Committee as well, but I'd be interested to hear what anyone else has to say. So, do you think that the first recommendation to be there for resolved cause would eliminate the lack of class diversity?
That was to him?
Yeah.
I'm not sure it would have as great an impact because we are leaving. If this thing would go through entirely, we would still be a certain amount of bed allocated to the in-house lottery system. So at very minimum, rising juniors would be available at the first stage through the in-house system. So there's something that would still be in the in-house schedule. And hopefully that would still account for providing
1 minute. Yes,
Tata. We actually discussed it at the RFC, and we were a bit worried about it, partly because the reason why teachers go first, they elect to offset the fact that sophomores are guaranteed, sophomores can go to the next grade, level of parity among the different classes. Further, as Rami just said, we were extremely concerned of a lack of virtual classes as effectively simply because if seniors or juniors go second, perhaps more track rooms would not be available, they would come off campus, et cetera, which would profoundly undercut the ideals of the West Campus class system, which goes for a liquid process among people among many classes. I, being involved in campus life as well as RFC, would probably suggest that this might not achieve the goal in quite the way
1 minute.
That we intend to. And certainly that perhaps a better way to look at it might be to rather than shift around the order of which classes look at and perhaps focus on number two or what you have under there to reduce the actual number of in-house lottery. I think that might be a fairer way to allow
I would certainly say that the first one would be affecting problematic.
Thank you, Sandy. PP Junowitz.
I think this is awesome. I do agree with the first number one of be it therefore resolved. Just say I do. I like the idea, but I understand what Sandy's saying as well. My question though is with number two. I'm just. Would you mind explaining that a little bit more? I'm sorry.
Sure. Yeah. So basically, it's correct me if I'm wrong, but there's about 80 to 100 beds per house system that's allocated to the AMS process. I think that's about a third.
So
to continue the occupancy policy, that only applies to Keaton House, Beta House, Becker, where the other two are. It doesn't apply to any of the college towns. So Castigo, for example, does not have a continued occupancy policy. But
okay,
Representative Diacab.
I'm confused because I have a brief question.
Sure.
When you have the sophomore coming first, you're afraid there won't be enough diversity still in the houses, but with the in-house system, the only people that can be in the in-house system are rising juniors and seniors, so the 40% of revenue on 40 beds would still be juniors and seniors, so you still have that diversity or not?
Good point. I don't think so.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're right.
One minute.
And then the other thing is, I was just curious, so I understand why you're switching like the sophomore to be first in the bed thing, but if they're going first, is that still up to like their, well, if all of them are, because the way it is now, the juniors go first, but they just save as many beds as they think the sophomores. So if, so now it would be like the sophomores can technically fill all the doors without juniors and seniors that aren't already in there. Okay, and so then, I'm also curious why, so sophomores going first, but then switching juniors and seniors also, we sophomores, juniors, seniors, instead of now, seniors, juniors, so everyone's getting switched, so I'm curious why you were letting juniors go before seniors instead of seniors.
So 15 seconds
to run. Motion to extend.
Yeah, yeah. Just seeing that, because this is new business, and seeing that a lot, I mean, a lot of these are very good points and bringing up then, you know, other peripheral issues. Maybe before you bring this back, make sure there's one more, within the 2 weeks, make sure there's one more Res Life meeting, and maybe anyone, like, these are all really good points that hopefully you'll be able to, you know, take into account again before you bring it back.
There will be a Res Life meeting this Monday afternoon. Can I just table this indefinitely?
Yep.
Point of information, something's tabled indefinitely, can't you not bring it back?
You can bring it back whenever you want, it just doesn't have to. Like, I'm not automatically bringing it back next week.
Oh, okay.
It's been tabled indefinitely. Okay. Before I adjourn, I just want to remind everyone, Jack Chow is doing a really neat project that we're all going to participate in right now. The incoming and outgoing and incoming e-board members, come over here for just a second. Those that are here, adjourn.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.